Hello and welcome back to Season 5 of the Emirates Lab podcast, the show from Fletsamar, where this year we're on a mission to uncover the many ways that marketing and market research draws from the world around us and how to navigate a fast-changing commercial landscape. I'm thrilled for this episode to be joined by Harry McGill, co-founder and creative director of McGill Productions. Harry, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Now, we've known each other for a few years now. So when the topic of storytelling came up, and especially through the medium of film, I knew exactly who to turn to. But before we kind of get into the meat of the topic today, it'd be great if you could just share with our audience a bit about your background and what you do at McGill Productions.
Yeah, of course. So I'm the co-founder, creative director at McGill Productions. We're a video production company based in the northwest of the UK. We've worked with companies like Manchester United, Expedia, Brother, Marriott, to name a few. I think the way we like to describe ourselves is we like to create videos that deliver results, so beautiful videos that deliver results. So our focus is very much on storytelling and the power of story and working with brands to tell their story to drive results. We work locally, nationally, internationally with companies of all sizes. So we have companies on retainers who are local to us. We have companies, obviously, who are UK-based only, and also big international companies, like some of the brands that I listed before. I've been making video since I was six. It's the thing I've been doing for as long as I can remember. And it's just been a constant throughout my life. I went to Lancaster Uni, studied fine art. And while I was there, I was just making videos on the side. Ended up meeting my business partner, Shane, who's our MD, and did some work with him. And he was really impressed with the results that he got from the stuff that we'd done together. So as I came to the end of my university degree, he was like, let's start a company. And that was 6 years ago, coming on 7 years ago now. I don't know where the time goes, really. In 2017, and I guess the rest is history, as they say. But video making has been a big part of my life. And obviously here, we like to tell stories. That's the crux of the company. It's our kind of driving force.
Crazy to think how long it's been already.
I know.
I guess one of the things I've always appreciated about the work you guys do in particular is the focus on storytelling, but also blending that with the commercials, as in, you know, really wanting to drive business results. And those two things quite often butt heads in ad land, but I think you guys do it really well. And I guess, you know, I'd love to start there. What makes a good creative story, in your opinion?
It's a great question, because it's both really simple and also really complex. There's so many moving parts to it. So I think that there's the classic stuff about what makes a good story. So there's things like conflict. It's things like plot. It's got to have a good plot. It's got to have themes that are running through it. But that's the stuff that when you Google, how do you tell a good story? That's the stuff that comes up. And so I think from experience and from obviously doing this day to day, the thing that I think is really important for a great story is, number one, relatable characters. Number two, it's well-structured, so how you tell it. Number three, it's realistic. And number four, it makes you feel something. So that last one, making you feel something, might seem like a bit of a silly thing, and it's kind of a bit vague as well. What do you mean, feel something? But you want people, when they're watching it, to connect with what's going on. And you want them to understand what the characters in it are feeling, and to have that emotional connection. So if you think of some great films like The Joker, for example, people might not agree with the way that the Joker ends up growing into his character and what the end result is, you know, murdering people and that sort of thing. But you can see in that film his journey through how he becomes this crazy, maniacal, evil character. And it's because he's been beaten down his whole life. And I think that's why that film is so good, is because everyone, in a way, can connect with being beaten down and just snapping and being like, I'm not going to be beaten down anymore. And it's a great example of, you know, it's relatable. We've all kind of, I'm sure we've all been through that. obviously it's told really well. It's realistic, and it, obviously it makes you feel something.
Idea of feeling something is really important. I mean, it's obviously really subjective, right? Because we all feel different things. But I mean, some of my favorite stories are David Lynch films, and they're in a way very abstract, as in they tell a story, but everyone you speak to will have a different version of what that story is. And in a way, I think in particular the medium of film doesn't necessarily need everybody to agree on what the story is, because we can all interpret it depending on what we've experienced.
And I think there's a lot of things that go into making you feel something. I mean, obviously we were discussing before we started recording that music is such a big part of what drives the feeling in a film, obviously, but also in any video of any length. And an advert that's trying to tell a story is trying to do what a film does, but in a minute or 30 seconds. So obviously it's incredibly condensed and you don't have the same depth to it. But I think all the same things apply to things that are 30 seconds and also things that are 2 hours long. You still want people, if you're selling a product or a service or a business, you want, if it's an advert that involves people, you want the characters in that advert to be relatable, to be the target audience. For the target audience to watch it and go, oh, that's me. Oh yeah, I know what that's like because that is me. And then to see themselves in that video, in that space, and go, yeah, you know what? I want to own that machine. I want to go on that tour. I'm a huge United fan. I want to go and see the stadium. I want to relive the magic because we've had none for the last 10 years, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. I do think it travels across any content of any length, really.
And then I guess stepping back from the creative side for a moment, or maybe not, let's say you get a new brief from a client. What do you look for in a brief? Because that's obviously very different from where you end up in a final product, especially in film. So how do you develop new ideas from a creative brief?
I think the first thing that we do, and something that is really important, especially for a creative company, because as a creative company, you can take something and just run with it without really considering, well, what does the client actually want? What is the thing that is going to deliver them actual results? What's going to get them the most bang for their buck? Because, you know, they're spending the money for this content. What is going to be the most useful to them? So that's the first thing is working out what do they actually want, what is going to deliver them results, what is the goal, what is the objective of the content, why are they making it in the first place? So are they trying to sell a product? Are they trying to relive an event? Is it for brand awareness? Because all of those approaches require a different take or a different way of addressing the problem. So ultimately it's kind of understanding why they've come to us, how can we solve that problem for them, and what will get them the results. And then obviously it's things like scope, so budget. You know, we're not trying to profiteer when we say, what is your budget? We're trying to work out what is the scope of what we can make here. What is, because, you know, the more budget there is, the more time we can spend on things, the more resources, the more creative you can get, because creativity and time, I think, come hand in hand. Mm-hmm. And so it's also working out timelines, like, you know, how much time do we have to make this? Can we make it as... Is it going to be as big and crazy as we're going to pitch, or is it going to be scaled down? It's going to be smaller. And then obviously there's the stories. What stories can we tell?
I guess, you know, from what you're saying there, it sounds to me like there's kind of two things which you really need to start out with some knowledge of, and that's what the client wants, what problem they're trying to solve for their company, but then also a bit of understanding about who they're trying to talk to as well, you know, who their customers are, who they're trying to speak to, who you want to see represented in your films, and who you want to be relatable to.
Yeah, I mean, the understanding the audience and understanding who is the person who's actually going to watch this is again one of the most important aspects of the whole of what we do, I would say. Because yeah, we can make a lovely video that's really fun, but if it's only fun for us and it only really resonates with us as the people making it, then it's not really going to give the client the results that they want. So it's always constantly what is the way we talk about it, and the way that we do it is we kind of look at kind of archetypes and the target audience, and what building a profile around what those people, you know, what that target customer looks like. What do they? How do they spend their weekends? Where do they spend their money? What values and principles are important to them? Why would they pick this brand over another brand? These are all things that I think a lot of people don't realize goes into making a video that delivers results, that getting content that's that is going to actually achieve the goals you want.
Especially because in kind of a visual storytelling medium, you're not going to necessarily be really explicit about it. You're not going to have a conversation where someone says, oh yeah, you should buy this because of this. We're past that era of advertising nowadays. So all of these pieces of information, all of that background work is very much in the background and not expressed directly in the work, I guess. But it's still like, there.
Yeah, the way I like to think about it is it's like the subtext of the video. So right. You're not necessarily going to explicitly say this person spends their Saturdays doing X, but through building the character and then the actor that you bring in to play that character, if the video does involve a character, is it gives them something to go off and so that it feels realistic, so it feels like an actual person again, so that people can relate to it and then they can feel something when they watch it.
Yeah, and just on that point around subjectivity, feeling something, the goals of the work, how do you measure, you know, the success of your work?
Obviously there's the kind of surface level stuff, which is did it deliver results for them? Did they get more sales? Did they get more followers? Did they get more engagement? Depending on whatever their goal was, if their goal is followers, did this video get them seen by more people? We did a job with a neobank that's just starting. It's trying to on and off ramp people between fiat and crypto. And one of the things that they wanted the video to kind of assert themselves as, this is who we are and this is what we stand for. And so it was a brand awareness piece. And so when it launched, the way we knew it was successful was because it got I can't remember the specific amount of views and reshares and things and how much the company grew on Twitter as a result, but it got a decent result from that. And so obviously that on the surface level, we know, okay, that's achieved something. I think on a deeper level, do people that watch it understand more about the company or more about the product, which I think you can get by showing people who, you know, family and friends, oh, watch this. What does this tell you? And also, is the client happy? Do they want to work with us again? Is everything cordial? Obviously, it's not going to not be cordial, but do they want to work with us again? I think that is also a way to kind of tell, okay, yeah, they're happy with the product and they trust us to deliver on their goals, I guess.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting that you mentioned there, you've got what everyone immediately thinks of in marketing. We like to put stats and numbers next to everything, which is a measure of success, but also that idea of just, do you understand? What do you take away from it? Those kind of deeper questions, which, you know, you're not going to be able to put numbers next to, but it still gives a sense of what you have achieved or, you know, if you've missed the mark.
Is it memorable, I guess, is also a thing to think about. Do people watch it and go, oh yeah, that was cool. I can remember what the whole point of watching it was. Because obviously with working in the marketing space, it's very easy for us to be like, oh, we made this really cool thing and everyone's going to watch it. But realistically, no one cares about the ad. So it's how can we make people watch it and just for a little bit of them to remember what they've seen, you know, remember the story that we've told, remember the brand, remember something that happens. There are a few ways to tell if it's been successful, I think. And like you say, the stats are one, but there's also a kind of a deeper, what does it make you feel? Which again, is a big part of what makes a story good.
And then obviously, you know, working in the marketing space, you're not just competing against other video and film advertising. You're compared against print advertising, digital, all these other mediums. So what is it that makes video and film unique, I guess? What makes it special?
I think this I struggled with this. Well, because I think the answer for me is that you have an active audience. So people are sat and they will watch what is in front of them. Because obviously we've all grown up recently with TikTok, with YouTube, with just content being fired at us. So it's an easy way for people to be able to take in a lot of information in the least amount of time.
So I guess in that sense, you're kind of engaging multiple senses, right? Because, you know, visually you're seeing something, audio, you're hearing something, mentally you're processing and piecing together a story. So you're engaging a person on lots of fronts at the same time.
And I think it's also easier to get an emotional response through a video than through text, for example. Because how many times have you been sent a big block of text and just gone, oh, I'm not reading that. I can't be bothered to read that. Whereas with a video, it's all self-contained, and it can take you on that journey in less amount of time with less amount of attention than I think a piece of text or a piece of print could. That's my personal opinion anyway.
Almost like a bit of an ease of access point in there, that it's actually a really accessible medium because it's self-contained. It's a guide through its own story. You know, a text, a print ad, I have to choose to actively engage with it. It's fairly easy, especially, like you say, within the YouTube, TikTok era, to passively consume video content and still understand what it's saying.
Yeah, I mean, I spend a lot of time, probably maybe too much time, on YouTube, just watching things about videos about the world, and because I'm curious about how the world, you know, is and how it's come to be and why things are the way they are. And you can learn way more in, you know, a 5 to 10 minute YouTube explainer that is beautifully made with all these amazing graphics and voiceover and music and make you feel something, versus, you know, a news article or like a Wikipedia page that will give you an actual breakdown timeline of what happened. I'd rather sit and watch the YouTube video and learn the information that way. I'm sure I'm not the only one, compared to just reading or seeing pictures or whatever other mediums there are.
Yeah, absolutely. So in this last part of the interview, I want to ask you some advice, and I've got two groups in mind. So first of all, for marketing and brand managers looking to work with film as an advertising medium, perhaps they haven't before, what's your advice to them?
I would say that most people probably have worked with video at this point. I think if you haven't, the people who haven't is probably quite rare. Or, I mean, that's my perspective. So I don't know if that's necessarily true or not. But I think the first thing is understanding what you're trying to achieve. So understanding, and also on what platform you're trying to achieve it as well, because I don't think a one-size-fits-all works anymore. You can't make something for YouTube or for your website that will also just work on socials. I think you have to think about them separately and think, how can the content that's been made for one thing be reworked to work for another, or how thinking about them differently. So it's understanding what you're trying to achieve, but also understanding what you want to say. So we work with a lot of clients locally, and we've got one specific client we've got on a retainer, and they know what they want to achieve, but they don't really know how to say it. They've not got a clear message for what they want to say. And so I think understanding what is your message, why have you come to us in the first place? I think that's really helpful, because you then understand why you're making it. And then we can look at that and say, okay, well, this is why you're making it. So let's target these people and make sure you get results. I think they're two really important points.
Yeah. On your point about most people having worked with video, I think this is actually really interesting, because from a advertising and marketing point of view, I suspect you're probably right that the majority of advertisers, marketers have to some degree worked with a video medium. But what we're starting to see, especially in the circles I work in, is a lot of research, insight, internal teams are starting to look to video and more creative forms of distributing their work internally within organizations as well. And those are really the new audiences who are coming to video, coming to film, coming to these more creative practices for the first time. And it's really just interesting to watch that progression happen over again.
We're actually working right now on a job. I don't know if I can say who the client is or what the job is, so it's probably not particularly helpful. But it is a video for basically they're spending a lot of money on a huge partnership in the US, and so it's a way for them to show the executives at the company, look, we're spending all this money, but look what we're getting as a result. And so they've chosen to use video to be, rather than sitting and having a 20-minute PowerPoint, they want a 2.5-minute video that's really high energy, upbeat, just to say, here's all the really cool stuff we've done. This is why this partnership and sponsorship is really important and why we've spent billions of dollars on it. Let's keep doing it. So it kind of ties in with your point there about internal teams thinking, well, how can we get across that information again in a way that's engaging?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be a huge theme in the next five or 6 years. The idea that internally, there's a lot of teams looking to achieve cut through, looking to be memorable, get their work noticed in what's an increasingly information heavy environment. So, yeah, I mean, from my perspective, that's probably one of the future growth avenues that a lot of video production work will be exposed to. But on that point, one kind of final question for you, and kind of with that context, there's a lot of people looking to become better storytellers, to take data, to take information, to take ideas and package them in a more compelling, memorable way. So what's your advice to any of us looking to become better storytellers?
I think this is a tricky one again, because I don't think I'm necessarily the best storyteller. Obviously, we get to make videos day in, day out at the company, so we're exposed to it more. But when you're in the industry and you see other people and the stories they tell, you think, wow, yeah, I've got a long way to go. But I think from my perspective, I think a big part of it is understanding who the audience is, understanding what they're like and what they want to see and what drives them is a big part about building that connection. Because I think without understanding who's going to watch it, you're kind of just shooting into the dark, and it's you're kind of making it for yourself rather than for an audience.
Absolutely. So, final question. What's the one thing you'd like our audience of researchers, insight, marketing, advertising professionals to take away from today's episode on telling compelling stories with film?
I think that video is the best way to tell a compelling story. I think a lot more goes into making a video and telling a story than I think people might realize. And for example, the things about archetypes and the target audience and understanding, you know, the like I've kept saying, that what drives the audience that you want to talk to. So I would say that is understanding that, and also understanding that not everything has to be short form. I think there's still a market these days for long form content, but I think it has to come hand in hand with the short form. So I think if you do long form, you need to have cut-ups or smaller versions of that for as like a top of funnel piece of content for people who don't know you to see. And then once they're interested, they can then go through and find that longer form. But I still, like I say, I do think that long form is still the most powerful way I just think it should be part of a greater strategy of a funnel, basically a content funnel.
So be clear on your strategy, be clear on your audience.
Yeah, I think they're two really important points.
Absolutely. And I think that's a great note to end on. So Harry, thank you so much again for joining me today. It's been a pleasure to chat.
Yeah, great to chat to you.
And thank you to everybody listening as well. We'll be back next month with a brand new episode featuring Harriet Walton, member of the 2024 Significant Insights 30 Under 30 list, on what makes an inspiring future leader. Until then, I've been your host, Chris Martin, and this has been the MRX Lab.